People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy, no fillers. Just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our grain-free rolled food. It's protein-packed with less risk of food sensitivity.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to October. Welcome to Hand and Footprints. What is your legacy? I am your host, Ms. Ricky R. Jones. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who support Hand and Footprints. All of you who've been wishing a happy Born Day. Yes. Today is my Mike life born day. This is my Mike birthday. I was born onto this Mike 2 years ago today, and I'm just so happy to be here on the Mike talking to all of you all. Thank you for all the wishes. I will be celebrating today, definitely tomorrow on air with my partner, Mr. Ngozi from the Beverly Nation right here on Ball Talk Radio. So Tune in to us tomorrow about 9:30. I'll have the link. I'll make sure that I put it out there so you guys can celebrate. But thank you so much. I really do appreciate your support. As always, I want to say welcome back to those of you who have been listening and following Hand and Footprints. I truly, truly appreciate it. Welcome back for those of you for the first time listening online with us. And who are calling in, say welcome. Welcome to Hand and Footprint, and thank you. You could have been anywhere this morning, but you chose to be here with me, and I truly, truly do appreciate that. I wanted to remind everyone, the call-in number is 347-826-9723, 347-826-9723. And I want you guys today to really share and get your pen and your papers together because we're going to be giving out a lot of information, giving out phone numbers, giving out websites, and I want to make sure that you today are a voice, whether it's your voice that you're going to use to tell your story or whether you're going to be a voice for the voiceless. I want you all to be able to come away with this today and make sure that you have the proper tools to do what you have to do and be that voice, all right? With that also being said, I would like to remind everyone, too, that I have rated this show PG-13. We're talking about October is Domestic Abuse Awareness Month, and we will be talking about domestic abuse. Hopefully some of you all will share your stories, whether you are a survivor or whether you've been a witness, and even though we do have people who are affected by abuse that are 13 and under, this is not the show necessarily for those who are not affected by it. So parents, if you have your kids around you and they're listening to the show, I just want to give you caution. People are calling in to share. People are calling in to ask questions. I just want to put it out there that this will be a sensitive topic, okay? So make sure you have your guys, get your pens and papers ready, your Google searches, everything. I just want to kind of put it out there what this show is really about. Did you know, according to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, did you know on average nearly 20 people per minute are victims of physical violence by an intimate partner? 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have experienced some form of physical violence by an intimate partner within their lifetime. 1 in 5 women and 1 in 7 men have experienced severe physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. 1 in 7 women and 1 in 18 men have experienced stalking, victimization during their lifetime. On a typical day, there are more than 20,000 phone calls placed to the domestic violence hotline nationwide. In domestic violence homicides, where women are 6 times more likely to be killed when there's a gun in the house, intimate partner violence accounts for 15% of all violent crimes. And intimate partner violence is most common among women between 18 to 24. also want to mention that violence affects not only the victim who's receiving the abuse, but also the children that may be inside of the house that visualize it. So that's the topic we're talking today. And, you know, when I was talking to my guest, and I'm going to bring her on in a few minutes, and we were talking about it, we were looking into, you know, having this discussion, all that's going on with Ray Rice. This is not necessarily because of the Ray Rice incident. It's because October is Domestic Abuse Awareness, and every day should be an awareness to domestic abuse. Every day, if we know it, if we see it, we should be a voice. And a lot of times, this particular topic, no one wants to talk about. No one wants to seek or help people. And it's just, oh, well, if it doesn't happen to me or if it doesn't affect me, I'm not going to say anything. What people do inside their house is that their business. And in some cases, yes, that's true. But when we're looking at statistics like this, I think it's a little bit more. You know, you want to give empowering. You want to give a voice. You want to give motivation to people. And my guest this morning, Toni Moore Esquire, is on that exact mission. She wants to empower women and girls of all ages to live as a diva of their own destiny by embracing a mindset that transforms their pain into power and life experiences into lessons of victory. She's a speaker. She's a founding president of Diva Movement, Inc. She's a wife. She's a mother. She's a mentor to many. She started Diva Movement, and she spent 15 years serving as a counselor at law, an attorney specializing in domestic relations, business startups, estate, nonprofit. As an attorney by trade, Toni Moore continues to consult with individuals and nonprofits. She deals with teaching law, everything you want to know about nonprofits, but mostly her biggest thing is the fact that she wants you to have a voice, lady. She wants you to have a purpose. She wants you to fulfill your dream. She wants you to have a voice. And this lady right here, Miss Toni Moore, good morning. What more can I say? Welcome, welcome, welcome to Hannah Footprint.
Good morning, and thank you so much.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Thank you for... I'm great. I'm great. I'm glad that you're on. I tell you, it's something about giving a voice. And I'm glad as I reflect on a lot of times, and we laugh and I put the hashtag loving this mic life. I truly do. And not so much for the places that I've been able to go, but it's people like you that I had a chance to meet, the callers, the supporters, topics like today, giving a voice to the voiceless. That's really what Loving This Mic Life is about, and I really do appreciate you being on and sharing with me today about this particular topic.
Well, it definitely sounds like you're living, loving, and walking in your purpose passionately, because you know already that you're meant to be, and without your love for this mic life, then other people won't get the resources that they need or hear the voices that they need to hear, because victims do need to be heard, but they also deserve to know that they to be healed as well. So I'm glad that you have me here today to have a conversation about a conversation that most of us do not like having. So, so if you want me to begin.
A lot of times when we talk about and we talk about the next door neighbor, and you know, you hear the noise going on, you hear the rattling going on, you've seen it, whether it's the husband or whether it's the wife, you've seen the telltale signs of the abuse, but yet we've always been taught, oh, well, it's not happening here, mind your own business. What grown folks do in their house is what they do in the house. But people don't realize that what grown folks do in the house spills over outside of the house. It spills over into our community. It spills over into our children and our classrooms. It spills over into our society, into our jail systems, into our court systems, into our social services. It does affect not just the people in the house, but it affects people outside of the home.
Absolutely. I'll take it even a little deeper, because people hear that and they're like, ah, but it's still not me. But I'm like, it could very well be you, because that person who, to right now, for this hypothetical, it could be a woman who happens to be a nurse, and she's so discombobulated covering up her scars that she is not being attentive to what she needs to be doing in the hospital. And maybe she missed a note or unchecked someone's information, as if they're definitely able to walk away, but yet they still have another examination that needs to be done. Or that nurse could give the doctor the wrong medication or vaccination, or prepares the wrong charge for the wrong person, and that person could be your mom who just came in for a simple testing, but because that nurse was affected by abuse, she's no longer herself, so she's no longer working and living on purpose, but she's scarred, and her scar will overflow into our society, because now you're upset because your mom got the wrong medicine, and now everyone's upset because your mom, who used to take care of your children every day for free, and you didn't have to pay for care services, now she can no longer do that, because now no one knows mysteriously why she is sick. And because you can no longer get assistance, you can't do your work, and maybe your work was to help teach a bunch of children or feed a bunch of homeless men or do something that the society was relying on you. So most people say, it's not in my house, but I do need people to understand that it does affect our legacy, because when she hurts, we all hurt. Even if it's a man, when he hurts, we all hurt. Even if it's a child, when that child hurts, there are certain people who have to tell. But there's many people who know that there's a problem, and they won't open up their mouth to at least call anonymously, even if it's DHS in Philadelphia County. So that's the bleed. And when we bleed internally, then we are affected outside, and we're also infected with that poison of that inability to heal, because that wound is there and we keep covering it up, pretending like it doesn't exist.
And you're right. How did you, let's talk about Diva Movement and how you as an attorney, you've had the experiences with dealing with domestic violence and giving, being that voice. Thank you for being that voice to the voices. How did that all come about for you?
Well, initially it all came about because of my childhood. I'm a child that was affected by domestic violence, but as a child, I didn't really know how much it would affect me. I was a child, my mom had a second marriage, and he was very abusive, and in turn, she was abusive, mentally and physically abusive to us. So when his abuse became so bad, we actually had to leave our homes in the middle of the night and go to a shelter. And at one point, I was thinking back, I think I lived in a shelter, a women's shelter, quieted away in Hershey, PA, for over a year. I had to go to class. I didn't get a chance to talk to any of my friends, and I had to become someone else. So that affected me, because my voice no longer mattered, because I was no longer around people I knew, and I couldn't tell people about my business, you know? So I had a lot of problems because of that affecting of domestic violence, because I saw that my mom became an object, and in turn, she handled it wrong, and I became her object. And when I grew up, I said, I don't want this. I don't want this to be me. But I'm sure some of our listeners would know that even though we say what we don't want, sometimes what our parents do affects us and we become who they are. So I was mentally abused by some of my boyfriends, and I was also an object that I didn't even think was worthy for myself, because no one told me that I was not a victim. And people say, oh, you know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, but if no one's teaching you that you're not a victim and you become the victim of your environment, then you grow up to be thinking of the mindset of a victim. And I almost lost a lot of things. I got a chance to go to a Milton Hershey school, and that really helped me out because it got me out of a bad situation and circumstances. And then I was blessed because someone said to me, hey, why don't you try to go to college? And I was like, I don't have any money. But someone thought enough about me to use their voice to save. Unfortunately, when I went to University of Penn, it was a good thing, but it was almost a bad thing because I still didn't know that I was meant to be. I still was just going to school because someone said, well, to get off of welfare, you need a job. But no one ever gave me that connecting point of what do you have to do? You have to live purposefully. You got to say what exactly you want from the inside out and become that. No one said that to me. So I ended up being a victim of date rape. The first time I didn't say anything because I was so embarrassed that it happened, and I blamed myself, and so many victims do that, but I tried to cover it up. And then the second time it happened, I could not believe this was happening because I was stronger. I was going to school. I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. And yet and still, I still blamed myself, even though my no truly did mean no. But he slipped in and he slipped out and he left the route and he pretended like I no longer existed on campus. And once again, I said, I'm not going to say not anything because people are going to blame me. And even if they don't blame me, if I pursue it, then with all of the questions and over at University of Penn, it would be a problem for me. And then instead of being a student trying to live purposely to become a lawyer, I would be that girl who told on that football player. So I said nothing. The third time it happened, I really was like, are you kidding me? This time it was a police officer. And I was just like, being the victim that I was at that particular time, I was just like, I cleaned myself up. I said this, I kicked him out of my dorm room because this, my no, truly, truly meant no. And there's somebody who probably says no, but you probably did something. My no meant so much no that this police officer apologized like my no meant yes. And then I continued to see him even when I went to law school, and I was just like, I'm just going to ignore him, I'm just going to pretend. But then I did something that I never had done before, and I spoke to him and I told him that he really hurt me. I didn't want to jeopardize his career, but I also wanted him to respect my voice. And a couple of times throughout my years, I used my voice so that I can no longer be someone's victimized object of their desire or victim of the consequences and situations. So when I went to law school, I was like, you know what? I'm a better person. I am who I am. I almost got kicked out of University of Penn because, you know, I slacked away and did absolutely nothing until I almost lost everything. And then I realized that I'm so much more than this. So that's where that victim, you're so much more, you're so much better, comes into play. And then I went on to law school. And I went on, and someone said, what do you want to do? I was like, oh, I want to be like Johnny Cochran. And I ended up in a, well, you know, he was hot then, you know, and he was, and he right. had a voice that was tremendous, and I wanted to be, have a tremendous voice. I want to advocate for other people because I always remembered that without the other people who helped me in my childhood, helped me to believe that I can do something more than my situation told me or what other people said that I couldn't do or what the negativity said or wouldn't allow, I said, I want to give back. Because, you know, when someone helps you out, sometimes the best thing is to return the favor. That's probably why I was attracted to that movie, Pay It Forward. Because I'm like, it's the right. best thing in the world is just to return the favor. So I ended up at a law firm that I despised. But someone said, what do you like doing? I said, I don't know. I like helping people. If someone didn't help me, I wouldn't be here. Someone helped me a couple of times. Even the person in my sophomore year at University of Penn gave me one more chance because if it wasn't for his chance, I would have flunked out after my sophomore year. But he gave me one more chance. So I always said, I want to give someone else one more chance to see themselves as the person that they're meant to be. And so she said, hey, try this out. So I ended up in family law. And family law is not for the faint of heart, okay? But right. people need help. They do. So my first couple of cases was about child abuse, and it was about custody, and it was about support. But then I started to do this procedure called protection from abuse. And so many people just wanted to just pretend like it didn't happen. But the good thing about protection from abuse is that when it does happen, there's remedies of law when you open your mouth as a victim and say, I'm worth more than this. And there were so many people that reminded me of me as a child, but this time I was not a child, but I was an empathetic advocate. And I said, you can get more out of your life if you make yourself a priority. And even if you don't make yourself a priority, please look at all of these children, because usually sometimes I would run into the same person in dependency court that I ran into in domestic relations court, because when the mom wow. or the caretaker was not taking care of themselves, then they couldn't take care of their children. And when the children was taken away from their parents, there's something innate in us that still wants to be a part of who we were made of. and from. So the kids would end up being taken into court and in foster care, and their whole lives was up and uprooted because someone did not tell this woman she was meant to be, and she sometimes would not listen, because I had a couple of cases when they didn't listen, and it ended up being a bad, bad, bad situation. So years later, I started Diva Moment, because I'm like, we need to let women and children know, and there's men too, but my heart, my passion is for the woman and child, because my experience, it showed me my passion, and my passion made me expertise in just being that voice of reason and say, you are somebody. Be the artist of your destiny. Be who you're meant to be, even if you got to let go of some things, even if letting go of some things is the man who's paying all of your bills and promising you that you won't be hit again.
Right. I want to remind everyone, thank you for tuning in to Hand and Footprints, What is Your Legacy? I am your host, Ms. Ricky R. Jones. Today's topic is a necessary topic. It's sensitive, but it's necessary. We're talking about domestic abuse. We are celebrating Domestic Abuse and Awareness Month in the sense that we are being a voice for the voiceless. We're on with my guest, Ms. Toni Moore. She's an attorney, and she is also president of Diva Movement. And I want to remind you guys, And I want to remind everybody, the call-in number is 826-9723-347, 826-9723. Press the number one, please. If you have a story, if you want to be a voice, if you have a comment, make sure that you press the number one. Toni, I think we do have a caller. Good morning, caller. How are you? Welcome, and thank you for calling in the Hand and Footprints.
First of all, howshin to you, Oladele Ngozi of the Beverly Nation.
Hey, good morning, partner. How are you? Happy anniversary to you.
Yes, indeed, and well to you. And this is what our, and first of all, to our Esquire this morning, Ms. Toni, how are you this morning? And I'm glad that she's able to share what needs to be shared. This is what alternative radio is all about. Mainstream media does not, sometimes I want to hear the true stories of women and men that have been abused or, you know, in situations, especially in what she said about the date rape. You know, she didn't want to become a Desiree Washington, the person who said this football player did this. You know, she was scared and afraid, and it's a shame that she had to go through that type of nonsense in that time in her day. But the greatest thing about it is now being an advocate for those who are the unheard, and it's a blessing to me just to hear this type of stuff on radio. This is the reason why Howshin Days Productions existed over 2 years ago, to be able to talk these stories and be able to be the watchtower for the unheard and the people who feel that they're neglected by society. So definitely, Ms. Moore, I applaud and you and just being a woman of reason to help others. Ms. Jones, you know how I feel about you and what you're doing, and thank you for this show today, being able to talk about it. And I'm very proud of this, this whole mic life, so to speak. Continue the good work. Like I said, Beverly Nation stands for these type of issues, and a lot of people come at us a lot of times, well, you're just too real. There's no such thing as being too real. You know, we're right now, we need to be more understanding of others and understand, give them the truth or nothing but. So have a great show, ladies. And once again, I thank you, definitely you, Ms. Moore, for coming on and telling your story this morning, because it's helping somebody at this time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And it's the truth. It really is the truth. Toni, you touched on a lot, because especially, you know, when people think of abuse, they think, oh, well, it's just the hitting. It's just the physical. But there's also the verbal, the mental. And you said something, you know, you have people who are in family court who turn around and they're in domestic relations. And the abuse can be the financial, you know, that person who, whether it's the man who's taking control of the finances or even the woman who's taking control of the finances, and they're using their so-called power, so to speak, to abuse the one who has to be dependent on that, whether it be their partner, whether it be the children. And people just think, oh, well, domestic abuse is just, oh, well, that's just for those people who are just getting hit on. No. How about that person who's being told every day, you're ugly, you're this, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never be anyone, you'll never go anywhere, you will always be here. I hear that a lot when in my classroom when I start with the newbies, and one of the things I always ask them is, how did you get here? How did you decide to pick this time and this moment and this opportunity to go to school, and why are you here? And in the sharing that they do, I hear a lot of my students say, you know, because somebody said that I wouldn't, because I escaped this situation. I've had a few of my students tell me that they were in abusive, physically and emotional and verbal abusive relationships where they've been in hospitals and they've been so close to death, and they've just been, and not even just physical death, just told their spiritually, they just felt they were just going to die. And they said, I came here because I wanted to make a difference. And what I love about you coming on and what I love about doing this is that you can do it. It can be done. Those of you who are out there who are listening to today's show, if you're one of those survivors who somebody told you that you can do it, I know you're thankful. I know you're thanking your lucky stars. I know you're thanking your creator. And just in case if you've forgotten, please remember from whence you came and where you got to go, and don't stop being that voice for someone else. But people think that domestic abuse is just about the physical. How do we get people to see that it's more than just physical? You also can talk about that emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm. You're right about that. I think what we focus on is the physical because we see the bruises.
Right.
We see the bruises from the physical, whether it's a busted lip or a black eye. I remember a couple of years back I was taking a continuing legal education course, and someone from Women Against Abuse had told us about a woman whose back was broken because her abuser forced her on her knees and broke her back to burn her back with one of those electrical ovens. So by the time she got to the hospital, she had one of those big spirals, a big spiral bruised in the inside of her back because her abuser just did not like her. And sometimes we get to the point where we're strong enough to be ourselves, but we're still holding on to someone who is poisonous to us. And he broke her back because some guys can be so abusive that they will say, if I can't have you, nobody will. Or if someone is going to have you, I'm going to make sure that you're scarred for life so that nobody will want you. And that's where that emotional abuse comes into play. You know, the emotional is you're too fat, you're too ugly, you know, no one cares about you. Here you go, yapping your mouth, always talking. If somebody wants to go to school, then someone shuts them down.com as if they're not worthy enough to go to school. That's where that emotional abuse comes into play. And some people believe them. They start calling them names. They start insulting them. They start insulting their family. They start humiliating them in public. I do know someone who was humiliated by her husband. She was one of those tall, beautiful women, thin, and everything. She, I guess back in the day, they called her the perfect 10. But unfortunately, after she had her child and after she started having to work, it wasn't so easy to be focusing on your body image when you had a lot going on as a woman, juggling the circumstances and situations of life. And her husband humiliated her so much, he used to show people around his work environment pictures of her at size 20 and pictures of her in the size 8. That was very humiliating to her. And I didn't want to judge her, but sometimes you got to be like, if he's not bringing out the best in you and making you feel less than yourself, that's not love. That is emotional abuse. And emotional abuse sometimes is always calling, where are you? Who are you with? You know, as if they're thinking that you may leave them. When someone is always calling and need to know where you are, that's not love, my friend. that's an emotional abuser who is psychologically wrong, and he's causing you mental abuse. And you deserve to be loved and to be set free, not to always have someone calling you all the time or getting angry at you all the time because you're not where they want you to be, whether it's in house, whether it's somewhere nearby, or and sometimes they let you out. You heard that opportunity, let you out by getting your hair done or getting your nails done or let you out to go to church, but they know church service is over and you're supposed to be home cooking for them.
And how long it takes you, right, how long it takes you to get home.
Absolutely.
And how long it should take you if you're driving and what you wore because they put it out for you. Because I've even seen instances, and not even just on TV. People think what you see on TV, some of the stuff, somebody has to get an idea from what you see on TV. Even putting things out, you know, where you're going. I had, and caller, I do, 610, I do see you. I'm getting ready to put you on in a few minutes. Just be patient. When I was in school, I remember dating a fella, and I mean, he was fine as wine. Oh, Lord have mercy, he was fine as wine. All the girls wanted him on campus. He was just too hot to trot. But what people didn't know was how controlling he was. And that every movement that I make, I had friends that I hung out with. You know, I was always the tomboy, so I always hung out with the fellas. I always hung out with the thugs and, you know, the guys who everybody else didn't want to necessarily hang out with. So I was always around fellas. He had a problem. Why are you hanging out with them? Where are you going? What you doing? And I never forgot the one time I went to this party before he said, I'm going out of town, and I don't want you to go to this party. Okay, I don't want you to be with them. Oh, okay, send myself. My mama's name is, my daddy's name, I'm going to do what I want to do. You ain't here. I know, this is what I'm thinking of myself. And I went to this party, and of course, in a way, he was kind of right. I shouldn't have gone to the party because something, you know, it just went totally in a different direction from what it being a party. But I remember coming back to campus because my friends and I got separated, so I had to make my way back to campus. And I remember people saying, hey, Rick, you know, so-and-so is looking for you. He's been calling all over the place for you, looking for you. You're like, where you going? Where you been? I said, well, I've been to the party. Girl, you better call and check in. He's been looking for you. As soon as I stepped foot on the campus, here he was right behind me. And from there, it escalated into something totally different. I never had anyone verbally abuse me in the manner in which he did. And he put his hands, I never forgot, he put his hands on me. And I had never, when I say I played around and I was a tomboy, I'd never had a man grip me and hold me and just shake me in the manner that he did because he wanted me not to do something. Just, it scared the living daylights out of me. And by the same token, it made me mad as hell because I said, I'll be damned if somebody's going to think that they are the boss of me. And it's amazing how in a moment we get caught up and then we're a victim and sometimes we don't feel that power, that sensation that we can get out of it. You know, Tony, it's just, I was shocked. I was here this fine, and I mean, he was fine as wine. And I'm saying to myself, are you flipping kidding me? Really? It just gave me a total look on, wow, I can't believe, I just can't believe it. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling in the Hand and Footprints. What is your legacy? Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Can you hear? I'm good. Oh, my name's Terry.
We can hear you fine.
We met in New York, Ricky.
Hey, Terry. How are you? Hey, pretty
good. Hey, I just wanted to point out, one, that I think you're doing an awesome thing, and I think it's a great topic that you bring it up and giving people a voice when they're in a terrible situation. The one thing I do think is missing a lot of times with domestic violence is it needs addressed before you're ever in a relationship. I know I have three boys and a daughter, and one of my biggest focus is to make sure that they understand domestic violence before they ever get to the dating relationships, that they understand their role, one, as boys, that they are never to change a woman's slate and rewrite her story, hurting her in any way, physically, emotionally, in any way, verbally. And for my daughter to know that that's never acceptable as a receiver on that end.
And that is so true. That is so true, Terry, because I have a little boy, and his dad has already had the conversation of, you're not to hit a girl ever, and that, you know, that's not what boys do. But as parents, we also need to talk to the girls. You're not to hit a boy ever. You know,
absolutely.
I think a lot of times, Tony and I talked about this earlier as we were talking about the show, and a lot of times we forget to tell our girls, don't put your hands on a boy. He's bigger than you. Even if you and him are standing at age 9 and you're the same height, just physically, the power that a boy has compared to a girl is different. And I think some, not all, but some young ladies, little girls, teenagers, grown women, think because, oh, well, the law says that if he hits me, he's going to go to jail. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to provoke him, and I'm going to go ahead and hit him, and I'm going to go ahead and do. I find it's amazing. I find it outrageous. I truly, truly find it outrageous because I have heard women, I have heard young ladies say, oh, yeah, I put my hands on him. He better not hit me because, he's going to go to jail if he hit me. Why are you putting your hands on him?
I'll tell you, Ricky, when I was in the situation, I did enough of my own provoking, pushing, physical contact that I thought it was okay from my end. I really did. I thought it was only wrong once he crossed the line. So I agree with you. It's a mindset that needs taught way early on.
It is. It truly is. Truly, truly is. Thank you, Terry.
And that's
Tony.
That's very true. That's very true, what you said with regards to the being proactive about having that conversation. And some people are proactive about having that conversation, but also we also know that we tend not to do what people say, but we do what people do. And sometimes without being a little more proactive, that just says we're all eternal spirits. We're here for a purpose, to live, to love, and to be ourselves. And I have two boys myself, and I tell them that you're responsible for you. Sometimes the older person, my older child, gets a little more aggressive with the younger person, but I say to him, do you want someone to do that to you? Do you want to be a bully? Because bullies are bullies. And if you don't at least treat him as you want to be treated, then eventually karma is going to come back to you, and it's usually worse. So we don't really have that conversation because most people, though they don't say it, we want to live happily ever after and pretend that the negativity doesn't exist. And when we don't talk about the negativity, then it doesn't exist. But when we speak about the negativity, then most people are going to give us pushback for having a proactive conversation. And I'm like, if you don't speak about it, then you become it what it is, and you allow it to happen. Because when you don't speak about anything, then it becomes what it is, and it is what it is because we allow it to happen. So it's good that, Ricky, we are having this proactive conversation, but hopefully more people are having a proactive conversation. Jamal Bryan put on Twitter today, and he posted, he's a pastor in the Baltimore, Maryland area, that churches need to be more proactive about that conversation. Because the question then becomes, yes, we need a proactive conversation, but who is supposed to start that conversation? Are we going to leave it to parents who, some of them are working 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs, just to make their rent? Are we going to leave it to the grandparents who are raising probably their grandchildren or their great-great-grandchildren? Are we going to leave it to the schools who are spending so much time on standardized testing? Because I did pitch a curriculum to a school, and they're like, well, we got to figure out how that meets so that the children can be prepared for standardized testing.
Right.
And so the question is, it's not the question that it needs to be had. Now the question becomes, where? Whose responsibility is it? Because in society with an over-bloated budget, we only have little to do with anything when it's just a response to put a Band-Aid on a bad situation, such as the NFL. It's a response, but it's always been happening. But now that it's here, and because people saw videos, now there's a response to it. But for me, it's not always just about the response, because you can go to court, you can get a court order. I've helped people with a protection from abuse orders, but once they get the order, it's still a decision to be made when your heart yearns for what you're used to, when you want to be comforted by the only safe arms you know, even if those safe arms ends up punching you in the face and beating you and controlling your mind, body, and spirit. But sometimes when we're desperate, we go back to what we know. So, yeah, we can have that conversation. I can tap on a couple of women lawyer division people, some of my legal sisters, and we can have that conversation. But if people aren't willing to be proactive and live and love purposely for themselves and for their legacy, then it becomes a yet another empty conversation in response to a casting call.
And you're so right. And the conversation, and I don't understand why, well, I do understand. I don't even know why I was going to say I don't understand why we don't want to have the conversation. Because, again, it goes back to what I said in the beginning. Because it happens next door, people think, well, that's none of my business and it doesn't affect me. But if it is happening next door and you have little people in your house, and when I say little people, you know, people that you're still caring for and you're teaching them things before they're able to get out into this world, and you're not having that conversation with them about what the thumps and the bumps that they may hear, if you're not going next door or you're not being the one who's calling the police, you know, then what message are you truly sending to that young person that's under your care? And to have that conversation, because we all have tempers. And what I found growing up in dealing with domestic abuse, you know, you hear the, well, he should have known that they were like that. You had all the telltale signs, them calling, them looking behind you, and the first time he hit you is to hit you once, to hit you again, and you chose to stay. A lot of people don't realize that in choosing to stay, it's not there. And like you said, when they get that protection of abuse, it's not just about getting their PFA. It is also about, okay, when I get the PFA, I need to start looking for a new place to live, or I need to go here. I need to do something with my kids. I need to do this. I need to do that. There are so many decisions that need to be made. And people having, that's why I love the fact that October, you know, and all the causes that we have. And I was thinking, as much as I am a supporter, and I am a supporter for all, because I have several friends who are survivors of breast cancer, I was saying to myself when I was downtown having lunch, and I said, okay, everyone has their pink on, and I'm glad that they have their pink on, because breast cancer is a wicked disease. But then I happened to notice, being downtown in Philadelphia, they had pledge signs and flags, and I was glad to see that somebody's taking initiative to say, listen, I take the pledge to stand up against domestic abuse. I take the pledge to be a voice. I take the pledge to put it out there to people. And I'm glad to see that. I want to see more. And just like you said, Tony, it starts with the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being reactive, we need to be proactive. When we're teaching our kids about sex, the first time we tell them about the birds and the bees, so to speak, and also need to talk about the emotions that come with it, and the emotions when you're angry, and emotions when you like someone, and when they reject you, all of those things, we need to have the conversation. And there are plenty of places that people can go to have these conversations. You know, parents, you don't always have to feel like you're alone out here to have the conversation. Most of us grew up, especially those of us who are over 40, you know, our parents didn't want to have that conversation about the birds and the bees. My mother reminded me of Claire Huxtable when my period came on. She had this whole big kit. Do you remember those big kits that used to come in the mail, and they had the ugly, it was the ugly lime green little, it held your sanitary napkins, and it was big and bulky and plastic, but it had a whole book, and you and your mom got a chance to sit down and whoever was teaching. And my mother was so tickled pink about having this big box to tell me about my cycle. She could have kept that. And listen, if she had told me that the cycle was a pain in the butt, one most days, but happy to see other days, okay, I'd have told her she'd have kept it. But, you know, it's just, oh, gosh, there are things out here, parents. You know, I'm saying all that to say, you know, a lot of us don't want to have the conversation with our kids, but we have to. It is so necessary, because there's a whole lot more that they're exposed to than what we were years ago. And I tell them, you know, I tell my students, there's really nothing new under the sun. It's just packaging. The packaging for the younger folks is way different than it was for us. Some things were, you know, we knew about Mr. Johnson, who lived down the street, who was the alcoholic and abusive to his wife. We knew about Miss Mary, who had a whole bunch of kids with different men and all that kind of stuff. So there's nothing really new. We knew about Miss Joan and Miss Joanne living in the same house and trying to figure out why they ain't had no husbands. There's nothing new under the sun. There truly isn't anything new. It's the packaging that is different. And the packaging that these young folks have now is there is no packaging. Everything is out there. Everything is on the open and for display. And if we're not having the conversation, like I said, we become reactive. We were talking about the video from Maroon 5. They have a new song out, and there's such a big uproar about the fact that this movie is the video is glorifying stalking and this, that, and other thing, and third. And I'm like, okay, I get the point that people are trying to make that it's glorifying violence, glorifying stalking, but by the same token, this is the world that we are living in. Stalking is not new. It's not anything. It was just the fact that we gave it a word to. We gave it a definition. If you Google it, it's in the Webster's Dictionary. You know what I mean? So it's not new. It's just the packaging. So, all right, so now let's have the conversation. Oh, it should be pulled, and oh, it should be. How about let's have the conversation of what made this particular artist create this song? Where in their background did they hear it or see it, and what are they trying to say? So let's have that conversation of what is stalking, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, what you shouldn't do. So being proactive, it's easy. It's so easy, Tony, to get on the other end and just say, oh, well, you should leave, and oh, you should do this, and oh, you should do that. Okay. Let's talk about what you do before you get to that.
Absolutely. It's what we call, like in law school, issue spotting. And the issue spotting pretty much is like being proactive about knowing the rules. You know, we had talked earlier about that, what the stalking is. And the stalking is, you know, sometimes people get it confused because they're like, oh, he followed me. But really, at least in Pennsylvania, because I'm barred and licensed in Pennsylvania, a person has to repeatedly engage in that context, you know, repeatedly follow someone. And they have to repeatedly do that to the point because they intend on doing some reasonable bodily injury to that person or to cause them emotional distress. So that it's not like an infatuation, because sometimes people used to call me and they say, I want to file a protection from abuse because someone keeps calling me. Well, calling you one time or two times is not necessarily harassment. You have to do it repeatedly. And with the stalking, is not necessarily following someone because you're infatuated. Because I never want people to get it confused that, oh, I have a secret admirer, he's stalking me. Well, is this person causing you a reasonable fear of your life, reasonable fear that once they get a hold, put their hands on you, that they are going to injure you, that they're going to threaten you, that you become distressed by it? Because sometimes people are introverts. So I never wanted to get to that point. But it's always interesting that when we start having a conversation, then reactive people make it worse than it needs to be. I like to have the conversation and say, how does this help us? What can we identify? What conversations need to be had? Is there a difference between infatuated stalker or someone who's stalking you because they want to cause harm? They want to rape you. They want to take you away from who you are. They want you to know exactly that they've been following you. I had a client who pretty much said that he followed me because he got mad because he was abusing his wife and he got kicked out of the house. So he let me know that he followed me. You know? And it was at the time when everyone saw on national TV that some crazy person was following his attorney because the attorney would not release trust fund money to him. That becomes stalking. And I let him know, this is not an infatuation. This is not cute. Especially when you did something. He told on himself, actually. And that's sometimes what people do when they get a platform and they're abusive people. They can hide when they meet their attorney. But sometimes they tell on themselves when they repeatedly talk and run their mouth, and then they look furious at their spouses in court, and the judge picks up on it. And then the judge says, why are you looking at her like that? And then the client is so mad that he's reactive, and I even took a breath because I'm like, if he's like this in a courtroom with a judge, with a tip staff, and with a police officer with a gun by his side, no wonder this woman file the protection from abuse order. Because when you get that protection from abuse order, you should not allow other people to call you, because sometimes family members berate the victims and say, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be keeping him from his family. You shouldn't be keeping him from his kids. You know,
right.
You should let him be who he is. And that's not right. Because then the family starts harassing you and following you at your workplace. You should know that you're protected from that. So, yes, we don't necessarily like the lyrics, but we do in this country have freedom of speech. And one of the things that we can do is not always say shut it down, but have a conversation about why it needs to be silent.
Definitely. Tony, let's start giving them some information on how they can get a hold of you, how they can get a hold of if you are in a situation where it is abusive. In Pennsylvania, there is the Coalition Against Domestic Violence. They have a nationwide number. It is 1-800-932-4632. That number is 1-800-932-4632. You can visit their website, which is www.PSandPeter.org. That's www.pcadv.org. Okay, you can also go to the National Coalition Against Abuse, Against Domestic Violence. You can go to that website. That's www.ncadv.org to find your state coalition list. Please, ladies, gentlemen, if you're out there and you're being physically, emotionally abused to the point where it is so knocking you off your square and it's threatening your life, please, 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 please find the courage to get your voice out there. For those of you who are out there and listening to our voices, if you know someone in a situation, please be their voice. Please help them out. Don't turn a blind eye. Don't wait until after they're deceased, or after they're hospitalized, or after they've tried to commit suicide, to be the voice. Please try to get in and have a conversation with them early. Please have a conversation with your family, your children, those who are in your village. Have that conversation early with them about abuse and violence. Tony, if they need to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you?
Most of my information is on TonyMoore.net. That's TonyMoore.net. I'm also a part of a book called Empowered Women of Social Media, How 44 Women Found Their Voices Through Social Media. And our Kindle book launch is tomorrow, actually, on October 5th. And it's a Kindle book launch for a few hours. We're going to make this book 99 cents because that book is pretty much what you just said about victims giving voice. And when victims are heard, they're also healed. So that's a project that I've been working on. There's women who pretty much share how they were victims of domestic violence, but how they use their problems to propel them away from their pain and into their promise. So on all the links of where you can find me is also at TonyMoore.net.
Oh, my. I thank you so much. I thank you for using your experiences. I thank you for sharing your experience. I thank you for being truly a voice. I thank those of you who have called in and shared. Thank you, Terry. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, Oladeli, for introducing me to this mic life. I'm going to enjoy the rest of my anniversary, my birth onto the mic. I'm going to enjoy that today and tomorrow. Make sure that you guys tune in. I will send the link out so that you can kind of call in and wish me an happy anniversary. Two years. Oh, my goodness, 2 years. So I'm going to send that link out. If you guys have any questions or comments, or if you need some more information from me, by all means, please, you can reach me a few ways. You can email me at themsri thrikijones@gmail.com. I'll say that again. It's thrikijones@gmail.com. You can follow me on Facebook, which is Ricky Jones. You can follow me on Twitter, Ricky Jones. You can follow me on Google Plus. You also can follow me in any of the outstanding shows that are here on blogtalkradio.com. You can do that. You can go to blogtalkradio.com, all one word. You can plug in even the name of the show, Hannah Footprints, What is Your Legacy? Or you can type in my name, Ricky Jones, and I can pop up and you guys can follow me that way. Please have the conversation. Continue to have the conversation. Don't wait till October. I chose October because that's what it is. It is Domestic Abuse and Awareness Month. But don't wait till October to have the conversation. Don't wait till October to be a voice. If you see it, speak on it. And even if you're afraid to say something to that person directly, listen, when they're not looking, maybe you can slip something in their doorknob or in their door or in their hand or whatever. But if you see something, speak on it. Be a voice. If you don't, even if you don't see it and you're looking for a purpose, something that you're finding that it is kind of driving you or motivating you to, if you've never had the experience, go and find a local organization that deals with people who are in abusive situations. You know, there are plenty, gave you the website, there are plenty of places. Yellow, the phone book still works, even though we may not physically get a phone book as much anymore. Google is a great place. You know, we have plenty of search engines for you guys to get into, to look for. So even if you're not directly affected, but you want to help, there are organizations where you guys can volunteer. Put on your purple ribbons this month. Rock them out along with the rest of the color, rest of your color ribbons for the month. Please be a voice, whatever. Please be empowered. Please just do. You know you have a purpose. You know you have been designed by the maker to do something. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it, because what you do may help someone else. And like I always say, if it truly is not like breathing, don't do it. So in the last few minutes that we have, Tony, is there anything else you want to put out there, anything else you want to share, anything else that you want to give us? And just, did I thank you so much for being on today? I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing me to just share something that is definitely a part of my life. It's definitely a sweet spot. It feels like my vocation has become my ministry, and that's pretty much to let people know that, like you said, you are divine by design, that you are and have always been meant to be. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made, not to be someone's punching bag, but there's something deep down in the inside, and we know that we have to do something. So I say you have to use what you got to get whatever you want, to become the CEO of your destiny, because even if you end up on the ground, then the best place to be is on your knees and just look up. And be like, I know you did not bring me this far. Whether you're 10 years old, he didn't bring you this far. Whether you're 21, he didn't bring you this far to leave you right now. And if you just follow your heart and you realize deep down on the inside that you are meant to be, then whatever you do, whatever you say, if you're intentional about it, knowing that you are dynamic for a purpose, you're innovative for a purpose, you're valuable for a purpose, and you are the advocate of your life, of your destiny, then you are the diva of your dreams, D-I-V-A. Don't you ever forget it. Don't let anybody ever take that away from you. Even if the life situation says otherwise, you have to believe that you are meant to be, that you are more than an overcomer, that you are more than enough, and that if God allowed other people to have a beautiful life, then he's not going to be that one to take it away from you. As long as you're breathing, as long as you realize that you can do all things, to make you become an overcomer, then you are more than enough to be the CEO of your destiny. Thank you so much for listening. And please remember that you are worth so much more.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Have a great Saturday. See you next week. Goodbye.
It's Flo. and this is my impression of a traveling lounge singer.
And we're going up the airport escalator. Hey, where are you from? Ha ha, no response. Classic. Got in an accident, so you gotta take a cab, huh? No cabs at Progressive Service Centers. They got rental cars on site, which is out of sight, you know?
Progressive takes the hassle out of claims. Just drop your car off at one of our service centers and we'll manage the rest.
Here's a little number I like to call. Waiting for the shuttle bus.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Service centers not available in all areas. You have a choice of repair facilities.